Hello all and welcome back to Tuesday at Dobbs's. This will be the final episode recorded from the India and Sri Lanka trip because in 6 days' time, we're heading back to England. I will, in fact, before I start off, thank you as ever, everyone, for getting in touch. Honestly, without you commenting and emailing, sharing your thoughts and stories, impossible to make this on a weekly basis. So thank you. Please do continue to share a comment. And if you have a longer story, hi at tuesday@dobbs.com. I'll start off with a little bit of inspiration. Words of wisdom from a 74-year-old biker from GZ Conk. Buy the bike of your dreams, not the nearly bike of your dreams, because the nearly bike will never cut it and you will end up buying the bike of your dreams, having wasted money and time on the nearly bike. And with regards to fear, just do it. Most of the best experiences of my life have been contemplated with an element of fear. I love this next bit. I used to fly aerobatics in small aeroplanes, and by crikey, if you don't feel fear before you do that, you ought not to be doing it. On the bike, I'm all too aware of how vulnerable I am to car drivers, but by crikey, I am not going to let them deprive me of biking pleasure. Life's for living. I'm 74 now, and looking back, it's the stuff I did that was fearful. That's the stuff I'm so glad I did. In flying, in biking, and even in making career decisions. One more little bit of insight. This is coming from Damon, 1957. Fairly similar age to GZ Conk. You should never buy your dream bike, as I have always been disappointed. Me, I leave dreams alone. It's never worked out for me, and they are money pits. Damon, please, I'm begging you. Please, 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 never, never get into a career as a motivational speaker. Let's move on now to a catch-up. Two recent tests that have been done. I've had a few questions about these. How did they get on? The first is from Claire, who I mentioned 2 or 3 weeks ago. She was very nervous and just about to take both of her riding tests in one day, Mod 1 and 2. Here's how she did. Freddie, just to let you know, I passed! Mod 1 and Mod 2, first time. I had a 35-mile ride to Plymouth in torrential rain for Mod 1. I arrived soaked through and wringing out, oh, it's the worst, wringing out my gloves, but it went perfectly. Mod 2 was much more pleasant weather-wise, and I'm so glad it's all over. The Suzuki SV650, I had this situation, ended up being easier to ride than my Honda CG125. It's weird how that works. But it's not a bike that you look at and fall in love with. My heart is set on the Triumph Speed Twin 900, but I don't really need that much bike. Maybe in a few years. Claire, massive congrats. Davide, people have also been asking about this. Davide, the Italian rider in Scotland, failed his CBT 6 times. He had his test booked, and he started looking for Harley-Davidson Sportsters. Davide, don't let me down. Please don't let me down. Here we go. Freddie, thank you for publishing my story and for telling me what I needed to hear with regards to the Harley-Davidson. I ended up hitting a cone on the very last exercise of Mod 1 today after a perfect run, but I will get it next time round. The search for the Harley is slightly delayed. Oh, Davide, I feel for you. I know what that ride is like back after failing the Mod 1, the long ride home with the examiner or the instructor, just in your helmet with your thoughts, like a vegetable following him home. Ah, Davide, I know that. I failed my Mod 1 as well. And great attitude. Keep going, Davide. You will get there. Now we move on. On to something a little bit less savory. Norton Motorcycles. This is from my bike of the week last week where I picked the Norton Commando. Brand new Norton Commando. Big saving, £2,000 off. And these are bikes that are starting to get a slightly improved reputation for the quality of the parts, the quality control element. This is from Clive though. Freddie, Stuart Garner. the ex-owner of Norton Bikes stole millions from his employees' pension funds to invest in his failing business. Scandalously, the public schoolboy only received a suspended sentence. The taxpayer has since footed the bill for his criminal activity. This proving, once more, it's not what you do, it's who you know. You know, I remember, Clive, when this came out, I remember reading about this a few years ago. But let me just jog people's memory about in how awful a situation Norton Motorcycles was before the Indian firm TVS, I believe they are, took over and are positively transforming the company, getting rid of all that nonsense that happened. But here, for those who have forgotten, here's a little insight from BBC about just how dire things were at Norton. From the BBC, hundreds of people have lost money after investing in three pension schemes where Garner was the trustee. He breached pension regulations by investing all of their money into his own business, where he shouldn't have invested more than 5%. The judge QC gave him a custodial sentence of just 8 months, but suspended for 2 years. I mean, it is a bit pathetic. I continue, meaning all he had to do to not go to prison was not commit any further offences for the next 2 years. I mean, it's hardly difficult, is it, not committing another offence for 2 years? Continuing, there were 227 members of the schemes, including Robert Dewar, who transferred his £120,000 pension into one of the schemes in 2012. That's 120k from just one of the workers at Norton, transferring everything he'd worked for his whole life. Norton Motorcycles, as we know, has been bought by the Indian firm TVS Motor Company. And in June 2020, the pension ombudsman ordered Garner to pay back millions of pounds owed to pension holders who invested in his three schemes, saying he had acted dishonestly and in breach of his duty. However, he has never, and this is bearing in mind maybe a year out of date, and something may have changed, but I doubt it. He has never paid back the money, and he was declared bankrupt in May 2021. So as far as I know, and I may be wrong, apologies if I am, he never did pay back the money. He just declared himself bankrupt. And I did find out on another website, I'll put a picture here. It's fascinating looking into it. He has, I believe, a very decent size hunting lodge in South Africa. So I'm sure he's got money tucked away in other places. So even though he's been declared bankrupt, I don't think he is going to be going hungry. Let's move on now. If you're the jealous type, just fast forward the next 4 to 5 minutes. This is some good stuff. Good day, Freddie. Greetings from Queensland down under. I'm going to put the pics here because this is the realization of a dream. If we talk about our dream little, whatever you want to call it, man caves, biker hangouts, personal garages, personal space, this for me would be very, very close to the dream. Greetings from Queensland down under. I had to send you some pictures of my man cave that you so accurately described as your dream garage in your last Tuesday episode from Sri Lanka. Several years ago, just at the start of lockdown here in Brisbane, Australia, I decided to excavate underneath my house to build my dream. This is huge, 200 square meter man cave. I think my flat in London, I think it's 55 meters squared, I think. So this is quite close to four times the size of my flat in London. 200 meters squared. It took 12 months with lots of blood, sweat and tears, but eventually it was finished. Your dream to have a garage with a lounge, a flat screen TV, a selection of motorcycles and various memorabilia dotted around. As you can see in the pictures, I am living your actual dream. I have three motorbikes in the stable at the moment. That's a Ducati 750 Cafe Racer that I've just finished building, a Harley Davidson Fat Bob, and, this is an interesting one, an SWM 650 Super Jewel X. I have all of the bases covered with these. After all, you don't play golf with just one club. I must add that you can buy a cheap bike that is cheap to run, but unless they unleash passion, all you have is a means of transport without a grin. Sure, I understand sometimes you need to slowly step up to get that dream bike. It's all part of the journey. Andy, I just have to quickly open these and refresh my memory because this is one of the biggest personal biker hangouts that I think I've ever seen. Thank you for that as well. I can see Choose That Dobbs on in the corner. Nice little chest with the TV on it, some surfboards dotted around on the walls, bikes parked diagonally with a nice sofa there, and so much space to work on bicycles, motorbikes, rip things apart, and not have to put things back in the same place once you're finished. You can just leave stuff out. Start with half a project of a build and not have to pack everything away at the end of the day. And classic Australian style, what's that, a pickup or a ute in the corner with power sockets next to the bike so you can keep me on trickle charges. That is just a dream. Oh, it's a dream. I'm suitably inspired. And Andy, massive congrats. Genuine realization of a dream. Moving on, Tobias with an issue. They cannot make the new Triumphs fast enough. This is with regards to the Triumph 400s, the 400X and the Speed 400. Two brand new Triumphs. I think they've literally just been released. They've been all over the news with all of the biker journalists checking them out. Take a listen to this. Freddie, in January, and have a look at the pick. Pick up right now. The car has eaten your bike. In January, I was rear-ended on my Triumph Street Twin 900. And due to the frame being bent, it was unfortunately written off. I've got my compensation from the driver's insurance company and began my motorbike shopping for a replacement. First off, Tobias, great attitude. Straight back on it. I fancied a Triumph Scrambler 400X. Well, that's fascinating in itself. So, to some, at least from a price point of view, downgrading from the 900 to the 400. See, that's how highly regarded these 400s are. I fancied the Triumph Scrambler 400X due to the beauty, quality, and performance for such a tempting price. Upon calling up my local dealership, I've been informed that the demand for these bikes is absolutely massive, and I've been allocated one for June due to the high demand of both the Scram 400 and the Speed 400. Motorbikes are my main form of transport, so just waiting will not do. I need to find something in the interim that will be cheap, reliable to maintain, are reliable and also maintain its value to resell in a few months. Perhaps a Royal Enfield would do the job. You know, I've heard a lot of good things about these Triumphs, and a lot of people have been saying, those in the know, get ready because this is the next sales phenomenon. This is going to be one of the first bikes that will really genuinely take the fight to Royal Enfield. And if Tobias's email is anything to go by, I think you could be bang on. If we have a look at this, let me put a pick here. Triumph Speed 400, Royal Enfield Classic 350. Near enough the same engine size. The Triumph is £4,995 with 40 horsepower. The Classic 350, it's only £450 cheaper, yet it's 20 kilos heavier, 25 kilos heavier. It's got half the horsepower and it does exactly the same economy, the exact same miles per gallon. So for just £450 more, you're getting double the horsepower and a 25 kilo weight saving. So on paper at least, everything points towards getting the Triumph over the Royal Enfield. Although I must be honest, because I always go for looks as the first port of call for choosing a bike. My personal preference from a looks point of view, that Royal Enfield. However, these Triumphs do also look really good, and they offer a gigantic amount for 5K. I mean, you're looking at the likes of the Interceptor or the BSA Gold Star with regards to the horsepower, if you want to get something in this retro area with 40 horsepower. And those bikes are a grand and a half more than this Triumph. So this is going to fly off the shelves. With regards to your predicament, Tobias, look, you're going to be getting, in 3 months' time, your Triumph. This is as definitive an interim bike as there will ever be. You know, in 3 months' time, you are going to have to sell. That's 100% guaranteed. So if I were you, I would be tying up the least possible money into that motorbike, so you have the least amount of stress. Don't worry about a bike with character, a bike that looks good. You just need a mode of transport for these next 3 months. So I started off looking things like the Kawasaki W800 for $4,000, the Kawasaki Z650 RS at $5,000. But no, you don't want to tie that much money into it. You need to have the most generic run-of-the-mill bike you can imagine. You need to have a bike that will appeal to the largest possible audience, because these are the bikes that will sell fastest. And you need to buy the cheapest possible reliable bike, because cheap bikes always sell fastest as well. What have I come down to? Suzuki V-Strom 650. Not just that, Tobias, I found you the exact bike that if I were you, I'd be buying. The 3 month interim bike that won't lose you a penny. Facebook Marketplace, 2009 V-Strom 650, £1,500. But don't think that because it's only $1,500, you're going to get some kind of iffy bike that you won't be able to trust. This is as straight an advert as you'll see. Take a listen. Suzuki V-Strom 650, block capitals, one owner from new. In lovely condition, never been on the ground, not showroom condition, as it's used in all weather, exactly what you want it for, Tobias, but not a scratch on it. It's got 30,000 miles. It's had, I can't believe this, the valves checked and adjusted to spec, full service including tires, chains, sprocket, brake fluid, fork seals, steering head bearings, air filter, oil filter, £600 spending on it to get it in tip top condition with receipts to prove, looking for a swap for an old Fireblade or what have you. 10 months MOT. Tobias, if ever there were a bike to fill the gap as an interim bike, I think that is as good an interim as you could possibly find. Let me know what you go for, what angle you go with for the interim bike. And also, when you get it, what is it about these new Triumph 400s? How good actually are they? Tobias, happy shopping. And we'll move on now. Bike of the week. A classic styled bike with power. This comes from Elio in Seville. Last summer, I think it was, in August, Elio messaged and he shared his story. He had a Moto Guzzi V7 that he loved, and he used to enjoy riding around Seville and the surrounding area. But he started wanting a bike with a little bit more power, and this is where he's ended up. Freddy, finally. Pictures included here. I have decided on the BMW R90 Pure. I was worried because of the power of the engine, but after 6 months and 7,000 kilometers, I can only say one thing. I love it. What a machine. What a beautiful machine. Until this moment, I have not had any issues with the power of the engine, none at all. It's got plenty of torque, but it's the way it delivers the power. It's so smooth. It's not intimidating at all. My feeling is that I have double the power, double the stability, double the braking, and double the power when compared to the Moto Guzzi. The only issue is that to commute every day, it's less manageable than my previous V7, but not much so because of its weight. The boxer engine is really nice and it doesn't scare me until today, at least. I love the peculiar engines, and the Boxer is as peculiar as the Moto Guzzis. Elio Saville. Oh, Elio, great to hear from you again. You know what I can't believe? Take a look at these BMW R9T pics. I was doing a bit of research after I read Elio's email. These came out in 2014, these BMWs. If ever there were a bike that hasn't aged a day, it was the BMW R9T. They look as good now as they did 10 years ago. You could still have the exact same bike, the launch bike from 10 years ago, in any BMW dealership, and it would look bang on, and it would still be just as much a head turner. 10 years on, it's phenomenal. Have a listen to this. R90, made from 2014 until 2023. I think they now call it the R12 9T, the new one that's literally just come out. It's a 1170cc boxer engine, and it's got 108 horsepower for the R9T. The new one, just out of interest, the R12 9T, is 14,500 pounds for the new one. That gives you an idea about how much you can save if you go for the predecessor, the outgoing model. Bike Magazine, I flicked through on my Readly app and I found how much this bike was back in 2014 when it came out. The price, 10 years ago, £11,750. Being completely honest, I was actually surprised at how expensive that was. I thought it would be closer to the £10,000 mark. That is quite a lot of money, relatively even in today's money. But Bike Magazine rated it at 5 out of 5. This is what they said. Cheap? No. A beautifully made? Oh, aye. It's got a top mix of modern ability and classic charm. What can we find then for these seriously handsome looking bikes that haven't aged a day? I found one, which is the kind of bike I like. It was very easy to find this, not on Facebook Marketplace, but on Auto Trader. 2014 model. This is the exact spec that I tested out. I think this was the launch spec that they would use on all of the magazines. It's the black and brushed aluminium tank, the gold forks, spoked wheels. It's really almost impossible for me to believe this is 10 years old. It looks so good. This one has got, this is why I picked it, 35,000 miles on the clock. So relatively speaking, it's high mileage, 110 horsepower from a dealership, full documented BMW service history, and it's £5,588. That may sound like it's still a decent chunk of money, but these bikes hold their value insanely well. So £5,500 for that much bike. 1200cc engine, classically styled. These bikes will look good for the rest of their lives. They're that kind of bike. They're never going to age badly. They'll just age just like a fine wine. I really like these. I rode one of these. It's an exact mix between a retro and a super naked. The performance is that good, and it is smooth as silk. £5,500. Elio, thank you so much for sending that through. Congrats on the new bike, and I'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching. Have a brilliant week all, and I'll see you all in the next one.